Let's create a baby. I think this is a cool topic. Let's create a baby. I'm not going to say that I'm going to do justice to this topic, but I think it will be fun to talk about it. Okay, let's go. When I say baby, what do I mean? I mean a lot of things. I mean little human being babies. I mean businesses. I mean works of art. I mean the results that you and I would produce from our efforts, from hobbies, from work. I mean the ideas that we give birth to, and then we, by adding energy to them, and we sustain those things, we bring them into physical form. Could be talking about paintings, books, art, drawings, sculpture, speeches, presentation, inventions, products, services, on and on and on, are all babies to someone. In other words, a baby is an idea. It's an energy pattern. It's a consciousness form. It's a thought form that you, me, and other human beings want to bring into physical form. This definition means that all of us create babies in one form or another. In fact, creating babies is a requirement of life. If we didn't do that, of course, there would be no continuation of life. And if we didn't do that, we wouldn't create anything during the short period of time we would call a life. So the more effective that we are at bringing ideas into physical reality, the more fun, the healthier, the more successful, the more satisfying our life can be. So let me focus for a few minutes on the most common image of a baby. This, to us, is a human infant. Now, of course, there are little puppies and little kittens and other animals that have little babies, and they're unbelievably adorable. But I want to talk about a human baby. We were all human babies at one point. We were created. Some of us, as parents, have participated in the creation of other human babies. The way we are created is still affecting our lives. Even though that creation, that act, took place, I don't know, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago, the way we were created actually is still impacting us here today in our lives. And the way that we contributed energy to the creation of our own children is impacting their lives, even today, no matter how young or old they happen to be. I want to recommend some resources to you that if you're interested in knowing more about how you were affected as you were created, and by having that additional insight, your awareness is going to empower you to be able to make changes. And frankly, the reason this knowledge is important, even after so many years, it wasn't last year that you were born, but is that we're going to create another baby. And I'm going to talk about that for the rest of this conversation in one form or another. It's not over. It's not over. The creation of us as a baby is not over. So I want to recommend these two books about a baby's prenatal experiences and how babies are imprinted with the thoughts, the emotions, chemicals, and other things in their environment, and obviously in the maternal environment and the paternal environment. All of these energies bombard that developing baby. There are probably lots and lots of books out there on this subject. These are the two I happen to be involved with presently. The first is by Thomas Verney, V-E-R-N-Y, M-D. Dr. Verney's title of his book is called The Secret Life of the Unborn Child. The Secret Life of the Unborn Child. And the subtitle is How You Can Prepare Your Unborn Child for a Happy, Healthy Life. The second book I want to recommend is by Wendy Ann McCarty, M-C-C-A-R-T-Y. She's a Ph.D., and her book is titled Welcoming Consciousness. And the subtitle is Supporting Baby's Wholeness from the Beginning of Life. I also want to recommend a couple of websites, and I think there are a lot more out there too. But these are devoted to prenatal imprinting, which is that bombardment of energy that we would have experienced as we're developing in the womb, and the impact, the impressions that it would have made on us, and the ability at this point in our lives to be able to re-imprint, despite what we may have been originally imprinted with. I actually think this is the whole purpose of the healing codes and emotional freedom techniques and other energy modalities, is to be able to reconstruct the relationship between those imprinting experiences and what we desire. So here are these two websites. The first is PNRI.net, just like it sounds, four letters, PNRI.net, and that really stands for prenatal re-imprinting. And the second one, also by the same couple of people, is called TransformingDragons.com. The idea is that these imprints, negative seeds of about ourselves and life, are dragons, and hence Transforming Dragons is the image behind that website and re-imprinting. The awareness of these influences that might have shaped us can really give us the power to distinguish between ourselves, our real selves, who we actually are, and the behaviors that we may be expressing even today in our lives. Because those behaviors could be the results of the imprints, those impressions that were made upon us while we were in utero. So if we can distinguish, here I am, and this behavior is actually the result, this is the outcome of an imprint that was made upon me by, I'll say, my mother, her emotions and what she was experiencing and her previous experiences. And in fact, they're distinct, they're separate. If we can distinguish between those two, us and our behaviors and our imprints, then we could say, now that I understand that different, I have a better ability to be able to choose what? Choose different thoughts. I can choose different feelings. I can choose different words to speak to myself and others. And I can choose different actions. I don't have to robotically follow through on what I've been imprinted with. I can make my own choices here, this year, based upon my intention, based upon my awareness, based upon my experiences, based upon my wisdom. I can do things differently. For a person to realize that, in quotes, their depression, or their anxiety, or their bad feelings about themselves are not really theirs, this can be tremendously freeing. It's like, that stuff's not mine. I often hear people talk about their cancer, their whatever, fill in the blank, their disease. I go, whoa, it's not yours. It's not yours. If you're diagnosed with it, if you're experiencing it at all, you've borrowed it. It doesn't belong to you. You can let go of that. Don't make it yours. Don't take ownership. Don't think of it as a possession. It's just a symptom of ineffectiveness. You can let go of it. So this idea of realizing that these emotions, these behaviors, these habits, these tendencies are not really ours, it's like, that's liberating. It could almost be said that it's like to realize, wait a minute, I've been covered with these energies. I'm finally understanding that. I've been draped, dressed, shrouded, wrapped in these energies, kind of like their clothing. They're not really part of me. They're covering me. Exactly. It's like, let me uncover me, or let me recover me with another version that's much more interesting, much more empowering, much more in alignment with the goals that I have today. Exactly. The value of the resources, those couple of books and those couple of websites, to people who are going to conceive and carry, deliver, and raise human babies, it's going to be enormous. That value will be enormous. Enormous to whom? To the parents, for sure, because the idea of being effective as a parent of being able to conceive and carry and deliver and raise a child in an effective way gives tremendous good feelings. And frankly, I don't think there's any job more important than the way we conceive, grow, deliver, and raise children. The chances of this planet surviving, humanity surviving, is based upon that process. And so what's the value to the children? It's going to be enormous. The difference between a child coming into this lifetime being secure and loved and feeling like they belong and have something to contribute, and life has meaning and is a great opportunity to contribute and grow a consciousness, grow spiritually, to make the world a better place. Huge, huge in the development of that child's consciousness and their ability to contribute to the world. I'll be a little bit dogmatic. I would go so far as to say that people should not try to conceive until they read and understand their parts in this miraculous manufacturing process. When we know how we influence our babies, for better or worse, we can take steps to be better influences on our babies. This is really the future. Happiness, health, success, harmony within the family, within the community, within states, provinces, and countries, all based upon this awareness of what we do with our children. We can quickly recognize that if people raised their children and understood how to love them, when it came time for some maniac who said, "Oh, we need to have a war because of we need to have profits in our weapons industry," none of us as parents and none of us as children would be jumping up and down volunteering to destroy other people, parents, other people's children. Just, we wouldn't do it. We wouldn't do it. We go, no, that's not the purpose of life. That's not the purpose of life. Creating profits and weapons industries. No. That may serve a couple, but it's not serving the majority of people. To reiterate, I don't think there's anything that's more important to humanity and the planet than creating healthy, loved, and loving babies. And one of the ways to do that is not that complicated. It's not that complicated. This is how you do it. You talk lovingly to that baby-to-be. Mothers and fathers who speak lovingly to that baby-to-be make a profound impact of a positive nature on that baby-to-be. That baby is going to be different than a baby that's subjected to fear and anger and outbursts and unpredictable emotions. Talk lovingly to that baby. The mother's conversations with that developing baby, unbelievably, incredibly so, important to that child's intelligence, that child's physical health and development, the emotional and mental development of that baby, and more. So, all of a sudden you go, if I talk lovingly to this baby that's developing inside of me, that it is going to be more intelligent, more loving, healthier, more giving, more sharing, more emotionally balanced than if I don't? The answer is yes. If you think that these conversations that this mother is having with herself is only with herself, you're sadly mistaken. That's not happening. Because that mother's conversation with herself, where she's grousing about something or excited or happy about something, is being internalized by that baby, as if the baby was the intended listener. The father's communications with the mother and the baby are all internalized by the baby. The end results of all of these communications will be a baby who knows how secure, how loved, how wanted, how desired, how connected, how valuable he or she is going to be in this life, or not. as we all can appreciate, many parents to be are not aware of what they're doing. Because for many, conception is so easy. How did that happen? That was easy. The idea that the rest of the manufacturing process is easy has taken root. And that certainly is not true. The idea that after conception or the act that results into conception, that may be the easy part, and everything else from that point on takes mindfulness. Really, conceiving, carrying, and delivering a baby, if you just think of those activities, conceiving, carrying, and delivering a baby, I can be done with the mindlessness of a cave person. Right? It's like, I didn't know that was happening. Or they can be handled on a very evolved spiritual, mental, and emotional and physical level of caring and importance to that whole process. So if you thought of that as a spectrum, on one end is cave person's reproduction and reproduction of highly aware people. You and I, each of us, could be put on that spectrum because we were created somewhere on that spectrum between cave people and evolved development. But the real good news is that it's not too late to create the baby you want and the baby you want to be. It's not too late. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. We can do it over. In the past, I've encouraged people in this way. I said, you know what you need? You need to go on a high self-approval diet. What's that? Well, instead of finding fault or beating yourself or calling yourself names or being angry at yourself, I think what you need to do is take these units of energy and consider them a diet. Atta girls and atta boys. Praise yourself. Approve of yourself. Give yourself pats on the back, you know, encouragement, warmth, gentleness, that sort of, praise yourself for that. And you're going to get more of that positive growth that you're desiring as compared to disapproval, self-flagellation, self-rejection, screaming at yourself with negatives, which is very easy to do because we've been trained in that, what I call management by disapproval. But that's not what we want to do. We want to deliver atta girls and atta boys for pretty much anything and everything we consider doing. I had a thought, atta girl, I'm going to take action. Atta boy, I decided not to take action. Atta boy, I'm going to reconsider. Atta boy, atta girl, atta boy, atta girl, atta girl, atta boy. And you just go, gee, I'm not really in the habit of doing that. No kidding, no kidding. Most of us have approval deficiency, and the job is not from the next door neighbors or friends or family, it's from ourselves. It is the self-approval. It's our job to approve of us, not their job to approve of us. Their job is to approve of themselves. I don't know how far from a mother's heart the fetus is as it's developing, but I do know that it is aware of the mother's heartbeat. Now, I'm no musician, I think I'd like to be, but I can still imagine that the mother's heartbeat is kind of like a metronome. The regularity or the irregularity of that metronome can give clues to the baby about the predictability or unpredictability of life. You know, if it's a nice heartbeat, boom, 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 over time that baby's going, you know what, you know what? Life is predictable, I'm calm, I'm peaceful, yep. Or if this mother is skyrocketing up into manic episodes or down into depression because of what's going on in her life or her hormones or her neurochemicals, you can imagine that baby, that baby is going to be like that as well. Predictability is something we as adults are constantly seeking for. I want to know. I want to know. Why? Because predictability makes me safe. And if I'm not in tune with what's going to happen, now I'm anxious, I'm upset, I'm angry, I'm afraid, I'm... Yeah, exactly. Predictability. Huge value. But what's even more important in predictability is our ability to predict that we're resilient enough to be able to zig when we need to zig and zag when we need to zag. And how would a baby know that? They get it from their mother. They get it from their father. That's a great belief. That's a great concept. That's a great value to have communicated to us. Let me redefine a few babies before I get to my main point for today. And the main point for today is creating a baby. So the baby most important to you is the physical baby. The physical baby that you were. Everything else that this life holds for us, that we experience in this life, flows from our success at creating us as a new and healthy, loving, cared for baby. Now, we could look back at our lives and go, you know what, that didn't describe me. I don't really think I was that healthy, loved, cared for baby. Okay. But we're talking about creating the new you, the new me. You go, okay. So, yeah. If the new me, this baby that I'm about to create, this new version of me, this healthy version, this happy version, this successful version, this loving version, this loved version of me, wow, that person's experiences in the world from this point on are going to be different, maybe even totally different than what's been experienced up to this point. Another baby is the condition that you want to bring into physical form. This baby could be a condition for health, for instance. Maybe a more desirable body weight. Maybe it's a mental state that you want to achieve. Even a new emotional attitude toward yourself, toward God, toward life, toward other people. It's like, yeah, I want to give birth to that. I want it to show up as a new way of relating to the world. Cool. That's cool. Another baby is the fruit of your efforts. Think of this. We do a lot of things. We're trying to produce desirable results all the time. We want to cause desirable effects. And so what are those things? It could be any number of things. It could be the manifestation of an idea into a product, into a service, into a book, a painting, a drawing, any kind of object. Something that goes from an unseen form into a seen form is what we could call a baby. Anything that we want to express our energy into that will turn it into physical form is a baby. Many people recognize that the idea for a business startup is really like the seed that springs to life if it's gotten encouragement, if it finds the right, quotes, soil. It's like, my business is my baby. And you can see people deal with this, and you know, that's true. That is a baby to that person. And it's easy enough to look at that and go, yeah. And around this baby idea that is a business, a group of people start to congregate, and you go, that group of people is taking care of the baby. That group of people is really like a family. A lot of people start businesses because they want to create a baby, they want to create a family, and that's how they do it. What if you selected an image or of one or more babies that you would like to bring into physical form? You want to bring this thing into physical form, and you want to keep it close to your heart. Why? Because keeping things close to our heart is the way to energize them. That, much like that baby hearing the mother's heartbeat, that we want to be connected. We want to be connected to these ideas, and we want to be connected not so much through our logical mind as compared to our loving hearts. If you selected an image of one or more babies, what could they be? Anyone that I talked about, from a physical baby to a business to a work of art to you name it, anything that you wanted to bring into physical form, and you kept it close to your heart, do you think it would benefit? Do you think that the growth of that, quote, baby would be accelerated? Do you think it would be good for you? I think so. Let's say you have a favorite picture of you from childhood, maybe an infant picture or a young child picture. You could look at that picture, if it's your favorite one, and you go, oh, look at that beautiful, beautiful child. And you might be able to identify that that child is already aware of being loved. Even if it was only the one day that that picture was taken, did the child feel loved or special or cared for or nurtured or valuable? You got it captured right there. And you look at that picture, you go, I can feel love for that person. I can feel love for that person. And you make a little teeny, teeny bit of effort. You could go, you know what? That person, me, back then, must have felt loved. I can see it in that child's face. I want to go off on a tangent for a second, maybe a minute. Some years back, this idea was popularized in, I think, sex education classes in high school. They were trying to give the students as a project something that would make them understand the responsibility of caring for a baby. So they were like, hey, you know, this is, even the act, you know, sex is kind of easy to fall into. What follows that is not. There's a lot of responsibility for it. And so as a part of this project, I think they gave, I don't know if it was all the boys or all the girls or both, an egg to care for. And the task was to keep that egg with you all the time. Don't let the egg get broken. Care for it, but keep it with you all the time. So now all of a sudden the child is thinking, the student, if you will, is going, oh, you know what? Oh, I have to go there. Oh, I have to be careful. I have to be careful of this egg. I have to be careful of this egg so it doesn't get damaged. And just this practice and sensitivity of being mindful to the needs of that egg, that baby in this particular project at all times, apparently woke some kids up to, ooh, you know what? Yeah, this is a lot of work. This is not as easy as the sex part. Maybe I'll hold off on doing anything that could result in a baby. Good idea. Now I want to come back to the image of you as a child. How about if your role was to carry this baby picture of yourself in a pocket in your blouse or your shirt directly over your heart? You go, oh, that's my job. That's my job to care for this image of me and keep it close to my heart. How would you feel if you could speak as often as you like, and the more the better, to this image of you? You could speak words of love, respect. You could explain what you're doing or thinking of doing or have to do or so on. You could express kindness and lots of other things to this version of you that you carry right over your heart. Imagine becoming a kind, respectful, thoughtful tour guide to this baby you are carrying. Here's what I imagine. You and you would benefit tremendously from being loved and thoughtfully communicated with. And you would benefit tremendously from being loving and communicating thoughtfully. You go, yeah, yeah. We already know a lot of our self-talk is condemnation and self-rejection and unkindness that we would have learned early in our lives. We can change that with this new baby. My advice, find a baby picture of you, carry it over your heart, and talk to it. Talk to you with love as you explain what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what you plan on doing. Be that tour guide. Be that person that guides and directs you in a loving, thoughtful way. you're going to do a couple of things. First of all, you're going to reduce your own anxiety by being very specific in your response to a demand, because you would have thought about it and expressed it to this image of you. Your anxiety is going to go down. Your effectiveness is going to go up. Your sense of good feelings about yourself and others is going to increase. And this part of you that perhaps is separate from you is now going to be welcomed back. This hurt inner portion of you that has kind of been neglected will be welcomed back into your heart. I think you have a tremendous opportunity here. Let's choose another baby. Your first job, that is, right after deciding which baby you want to bring into physical form, is to find an image, a picture, some representation of that baby that is unmistakably clear to you. Be nice if it had emotional content that is magnetic to you, that it draws you to it, is interesting to you, and it's very easy for you to connect and stay connected to it. Let's say it's an ideal body weight, for instance. Find an image of you, or an image that you can put in your pocket over your heart, that you can talk to that baby the same loving way that I just described a minute ago, that you would talk to this picture of you as a loved infant. If your desired baby is a house or a job or a business of your own, whatever, find an image that is emotionally clear and powerful for you, that you can look at it and immediately connect to it. Boom. Carry that picture over your heart. Give it the energy of love. Deliver love to it. Now, even though I've talked about, let's say, 30 some minutes now, I could sum up my advice on creating a baby, any baby, every baby, all kinds of babies, by saying this. The main necessary ingredient in creating a baby is love. Give as much love to this creation as you can, and you will be successful, and so will your new baby. I would like to end the service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 of Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.